The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. From the fourth chapter of St. John's Gospel, the 50th verse, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And from the first chapter of St. John's Gospel, the first and second and the 14th verses, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." In the Gospel read on this Lord's Day, St. John tells us that Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine, and there he performed a second miracle. He healed an official's son who was dying. The Greek word that St. John uses for this official suggests that he was an official in the service of Herod Antipas, who was the so-called tetrarch, meaning the ruler in Galilee. The familiar King James Version of the Bible translates the word as nobleman. But disease and death are no respecter of persons, whether you're rich and powerful or helpless and poor. Disease and death are the common lot of us all. And so this nobleman from Capernaum, no doubt having heard of Jesus' teaching and miracles, makes the journey all the way to Cana, a distance of about 20 miles, to ask Jesus to heal his son who's dying. So how does Jesus respond to this nobleman's cry for help? Well, you might say that Jesus' immediate response is far from reassuring. Jesus says, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." It's not the kind of answer you'd expect from one who had provided so abundantly for the young couple in Cana who'd run out of wine for their wedding feast. Not the kind of answer you'd expect at all. You might even say that Jesus' answer was pouring cold water on the face of an agonized parent about to lose his little boy. The face of Jesus we see here is in fact a stern face. His words are a rebuke to those who heard them. "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." But then how does this distressed father respond? He doesn't give up. Instead, he begs Jesus to come down and heal his son, his cherished little boy. Come down ere my child die, the kind of words that are filled with tears. For what can be worse than the death of one's own little child? My own mother's firstborn child was stillborn. And some of you who are here this morning have also experienced that kind of devastating loss. Come down ere my child dies. And in response to this truly agonized plea, Jesus responds, "Go, go. Your son will live." And what happens then is astonishing. St. John tells us that the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way, and that when the nobleman's servants met him as he was going on his way, they told him that his son was now recovering. When he asked them when he had begun to recover, they told him yesterday at the seventh hour, which means 1 o'clock, the fever had left him, and the father realized that this was in fact exactly the same time when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." St. John tells us that the father then believed, and so did his entire household. And St. John concludes by saying, this was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea into Galilee. In both the miracle of the water made wine and in the healing of the nobleman's dying son, desperate human need had been met with compassion, and grief had been turned into joy. Whenever I think about this story, I remember the title of a sermon I heard preached on this text a great many years ago. A sermon that was preached by my beloved teacher and father in God, Dr. Martin Fronsman, who also happens to be the author of that wonderful hymn we just sang. Dr. Fronsman was both a scholar and a poet, and I think a saint. The title he gave to the sermon he preached on this gospel is "The Man Who Went Home with Only a Word in His Pocket." The man who went home with only a word in his pocket, because the father of that dying boy had nothing to go on but the word of Jesus. He trusted that word, he obeyed that word. The word of Jesus, who is, as St. John says at the very beginning of his gospel, the word of God. John writes, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us." Through our words, we express the thoughts of our minds and our hearts. And that's the reason St. John calls the Son of God the Word of God. because through him, God clearly expresses his thoughts toward us. He opens his heart to us, and there we find the heart of a father who loved us enough to send his only son to go through the agonizing death of the cross so that you and I might be pardoned. Pardon for all our little faith. Pardon for our anger with God, for our resentments. All that forgiven through the sacrifice and death of his only Son, his eternal Word made flesh for our salvation. To be sure, Jesus' first word to the distressed father of the dying boy was, in fact, a stern word. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. But it's a word we need to remember when amid the storms of life, faith wavers, hope grows dim. Because it is then that we must learn to disregard our misgivings, our perplexities, our confusions, our uncertainties, and simply trust the Savior's word of promise. Trusting that his will is a good and gracious will, even when we can't see that, can't feel that, can't experience that. We need to make our own the words of the old hymn which says, I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it, whether felt or not. I cling to what my Savior taught and trust it, whether felt or not. God can do and does miracles. There can be no doubt about that, but God usually works in a much more hidden, much more mysterious way. We do not always see his guiding hand. We do not always feel his truly loving heart, which desires only good for us. It's then that, like the man who went home with only a word in his pocket, we must cling to the Word made flesh, the dear Christ child wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The crucified Lord, whose outstretched arms embrace us all. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.